I'd like to call this meeting to order. Our invocation and pledge of allegiance tonight will be led by Reverend Tommy Williams.
I have to do something first. Are you the new mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry I missed the election, but congratulations. You're welcome. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here tonight. Do the things going to help the town of Curry Beach and meet all its needs and to help it grow. And to help it be the place that we've lived in and we've loved for all these years that you've given us. Lord, we ask that you be with the council tonight, the leaders of our great town, as they conduct the business meeting that we're going to have tonight. Give them all the tools that they need to lead us and guide us into making this town, Curry Beach, the great town that it always has been and always will be, as is in Jesus' name. Can we stand and do the pledge of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Okay, do we have anybody here tonight from the Daughters of the American Revolution? Okay. I guess I should stand for this.
I'm in with large. That's okay.
We have a large member over here. Okay, we have a proclamation 216-02 in support of Constitution Week. Whereas September 17th, 2016 marks the 229th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to officially recognize this magnificent document and the anniversary of its creation, and whereas it is fitting and proper to officially recognize the patriotic contributions which will, the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate the occasion, whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States of America designating September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Curry Beach Town Council does hereby proclaim September 17th through the 23rd, 2016, to be Constitution Week in the town of Curry Beach, North Carolina, and does ask our citizens to reaffirm the ideals that the framers of the Constitution had in 1787. I proclaim this 20th day of September, 2016. Thank you. Would you like to have a copy of that? Yeah, me neither. Okay. We have our consent agenda. Are there any comments? I would like to point out, so no one misinterprets this, numbers 4 through 7 are all part of the Special Olympics Day in February, that is February the 11th. Indicators here that will allow food trucks, doesn't say when or why or where, so I just would like to indicate all four of those items are together. Any other comments, questions, deletions?
Make a motion, we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the adoption of our agenda. Do we have any changes, deletions, additions? Okay, do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, discussion and consideration of persons to address council. First, we have David
Garceau,
thank you. Who is speaking on a possible waiver of the sewer tap and user fee due to special circumstances on his property.
Yes. Good evening, Council, and thank you for listening to me this evening. I think I can keep this pretty short and brief if we look back through the history and everything else. I've recently purchased my home, and in trying to do everything right and comply with everything and getting some permits here coming soon to do some additions and so on, we discovered that our home is on the septic system, which of course is not allowed in Curie Beach. We believe that the sewer fees and tap fees have probably been paid because there is a sewer tap and everything there in place. The water is connected and everything else. And really all I'm doing is trying to make sure that everything is above board and that as we get the work done to correctly connect the sewer system, that we're not surprised with a tap fee for something that I believe has already been connected. So I'm simply asking for the council's consideration on that and again to make sure that everything is done correctly.
Any comments from Public Works or Building Inspections? Do you know when those taps were put in?
They should have been taken off of a septic tank a long time ago, and I would imagine that's probably not the only one. There may be another one if there is, there's not many of them. So, no, and I'm sure if it's tapped out, they pay for it. Okay. Somebody paid for it.
Okay. Any comments from Building Inspections?
No.
Nancy?
Not really. It's the first one I've run into.
Nancy?
Yeah, ever since we took everybody off of there, this is the first one and hopefully the last one.
Do we have any records at all, Nancy, that go back that far to show whether or not it was paid?
We don't tell them all, so
I suspect that because there's a tap there, somebody paid for it, because I'm sure the city doesn't just put taps in without
somebody. Somebody was surely assessed
or whatever.
It would have been changed in 1983. We updated the records in 1999. There were no records that went back. When I called and found out when Mr. Garceau's home, found out it was attached to that, came up, called, Sonny's team was great, went right out. They are connected to the water, but not to the sewer. Our belief is, but we can't prove it, we've had Nancy, Avery and Nancy do it, both have been great. We've dug through everything that we can. It looks as if maybe they were connected, maybe the fee was paid, but the onus would have been on the property owner at that time to follow through with their responsibility to connecting. They did not, and it's obvious. So in order, as he stated, to be in compliance, we just want to make sure that it's done correctly and that the town doesn't come back later and bill for something. So that's why he's approaching in this manner.
And for the record, could you give our assistant clerk your name?
Lisa Hegler.
Thank you.
The broker with Caldwell Bankruptcy Coast Advantage.
Any questions?
Were the prior owners paying sewer?
Yes.
The prior owner inherited the home their parents passed. The people that had that, by the time this would have done, would have bought it, so it would have been three owners ago. All previous owners are deceased except for the children that inherited.
But the prior bills show they were paying water and sewer.
I have pulled all the records that I was allowed to get from 1999, and there are over $40,000 in just sewer fees that have been paid. So they've been in compliance with the ordinance. It's just the previous seller did not comply with what he was, or previous owner had not complied, and that could have been three owners ago. The history of the tax records with the property.
So, Sonny, it would be your opinion that since there's taps there, it had been paid.
Yeah. And even if it hadn't, the charges would have added up to it.
They should have, taken out or crushed and filled and made the transfer when everybody else did. And that one slipped through the...
Right.
And so somehow we've been billing them anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as per the ordinance, they were notified, all property owners have been notified, that they would be billed irregardless. The onus would have been on the property owner to comply.
Okay.
And get the proper permits.
And that's not a concern to me. Again, my concern is to move forward correctly and not to be surprised with a tap fee when I believe it's already been paid.
Okay. What is council's pleasure?
So I make a motion that, based on these circumstances, I don't know if we waive it is the right word or just recognize it was paid and logged that so we have it written down. I don't think there's a waive because we've already done all the work. Right, so there's, I don't think there's anything away. I think we just annotate that it is that property is in compliance and let them do the work on their side to connect.
Right.
The town is in compliance.
Field, yeah.
And it will be properly permitted. We do have a license contract that will be coming in, and they will be going through the permitting and inspection process as required.
Okay. Would you like to repeat?
Yes. I make a motion that the town annotate that the property is in compliance and there's no outstanding sewer tap or user fee to connect properly to the sewer system at 1038 South Fort Fisher Boulevard.
Second?
Second.
And a second with Joseph. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck with that. Sorry. John Ellen.
Good evening, Mayor. In the council citizens. My name is John Ellen, I live at 181 Seawatch West. Almost a year ago, the town began to talk about having a comprehensive plan. We had a meeting that was facilitated by an organization from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. A lot of great people showed up. A lot of good information was exchanged. We broke that down into some focus areas. A person volunteered for each one of the focus areas to lead that. We've had meetings of the focus area team members. And during that process, I said I would be willing to lead the development of a comprehensive plan. And so I kind of a big picture guy. I know that we're a small town, but I think we should have some big ideas. So I'm coming to you tonight to say, and to present, if I may approach the bench, a hard copy of what I emailed everyone of a draft of a comprehensive plan for the town of Cure Beach. It's in your five email boxes, unless it got destroyed because of the Twitter I hear that y'all have an email problem in town.
We'll get recovered.
I sent it to Ms. Hewitt, Ms. Avery, her attorney, the members of the Planning and Zoning Committee, and all of the members of the focus group. I have no pride of authorship. I just presented. Let's work with it. Let's throw it in the trash. You folks decide. But if you think it's something we can rally around, the last meeting I attended with the focus group leaders, each one's got their little piece of the pie. But to be quite honest, nobody's developing their area into readable material.
Okay, John, I don't know that the last statement is really true. I believe you missed the last meeting, and each one of the groups is working on their individual areas and trying to come up with goals and objectives and activities for accomplishing those objectives and ways to measure them. Is this the same one you gave me a few months ago? Okay.
I gave you like 8 or 10 pages of a draft of one little section.
You gave me a whole thing, and it talked all about airports and
that was a
mass transit and all
there.
This other. I would, first of all, I would welcome you taking over this. Okay, I might even give you a hug for it. I would like for every one of you. to read this in detail, okay? And be sure that everything in there applies to Currie Beach, okay?
So you have a deadline on when you want that done by?
The next council meeting.
Okay, so you're going to put it on the agenda for the next council meeting?
Yes. In addition to that, we have a survey that I hope was completed by today. Because of our email situation, I haven't seen the latest version. I was hoping to bring a copy to you tonight, but could not get into my email to print a copy off. So I will be sending that to each one of you. I would like for you to please make whatever you're thinking, comment on it.
Is this a proposed survey?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a proposed survey that each one of the groups have given input for things to be included in it. And I would obviously like your comments before anything is sent out officially. And then between now and January, February, would like to have input on this. In fact, if you could send this to each one of the group heads and be sure that they, you know, that they agree with whatever is in here for their section, and
these
gradually,
like I say, I'm just trying to get something out there to facilitate the action.
Yeah, well, we never thought we would have anything until January or February, but this is certainly a good start. And along with that, Orville Powell, and again, I don't think he reads his emails on the weekends, so I don't know his definite response, but he's been in charge of the parking committee, and he's looked at a lot of different things, and if he is ready, I would like very much for him to come to the October meeting and do a presentation. Because I think a big part of this is for the next 5, 10, maybe even 20, but at least 10 years. And if there's any inkling at all that we will or will not have paid parking, I would like for the council's input on that before it is put, long before it is put in this plan. So if you would note, Nancy, we'll have Orville at our next meeting.
There is a subsection of this called parking, and the way it addresses that, it doesn't say we need paid parking. We must never have paid parking.
Should.
It lays out a plan for the town representative that voted to represent this town, the citizen, to work within that structure in solving the parking issue.
Okay, well, we've been doing this for years and years, and it's time, like many other things, to put up or shut up. And I believe by the time we have our budget meetings starting in February or March, that we have an idea now of what we want to do, whether it takes us a year or 5 years or 10 years to make it happen, that we have an idea of what
I tried to structure this and approach the parking issue, not a solution.
Well, that's what Orville and his group have been working on for about 5 months now. So, okay.
I wanted to say, Emily might want to hug you. I'll just thank you for this work. 144 pages.
Right.
What?
No, it's right. Yes. Right, yeah. Oh.
144 pages, that's a significant amount of work. I look forward to reading it, and whatever the outcome is, I'm sure I'll learn something.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Sarah.
Yes,
that's me. Holla, you're going to talk to us about chickens?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to approach the stand? And while you're at it, please give us your address.
730 Sailor Court.
Okay. Right up there in the microphone.
Okay.
And we'll let you stay down there when you get done.
Okay.
We have your little chair back.
Or you want to go on chair?
You want to come?
Let me see.
Okay.
So at 7:30, Sailor Court. So I'm Sarah, and about last April, I did this project of raising chickens. And so I grew up, we grew four chickens, Macy, Millie, Martha, and Mary. And so now they're getting a little bit more like chickens, and not like babies, we raise them as babies. And I had this chicken Macy. She was a white leghorn, and I trained her pretty good. And when she got a little older, she started to get a little loud and had to give her away. And we gave her away to a farm. The girl that owns the farm is Connie, and she works with autistic kids. She's got like autistic lamp, like llamas, and like not autistic llamas, like therapy llamas and therapy animals. And Macy, my chicken that I trained, she made her into a therapy chicken because I trained her really good for a therapy chicken. And she said that I had like a really good gift with chickens and everything like that. And she said that like with all like the chickens that she's ever seen, everything, she's never seen a chicken that docile and like that good. And now I have this chicken named Millie, where I would, she'll literally sit in my lap with her legs all like straight out like this, which is really interesting. And so I'm just wondering if maybe to have chickens in Kiri Beach, because my mom said that we can't keep them if they're not legal. And they're very, and we won't keep them if they're like they would, it'd be a minimum of like six, no more than six chickens. We would want it to be too like dirty or like not look clean looking. This is kind of what we did.
May I ask you, would your chickens be in a cage or a fenced yard, or
they
would they be allowed to run?
They it could be in a fenced yard like what we did right here.
Yes, they're under the stairs.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that can help. Mm-hmm. So, are you asking us to consider legalizing chickens?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to ask our planning and zoning administrator here, do we have any ordinances governing chickens in Kiri Beach?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Do you have anything prohibiting them?
So, sort of.
We had an old one. I don't know what happened to it.
I know we do prohibit horses, right?
Well, I haven't looked now, so.
I think it's roosters and horses.
It was roosters.
Right. But it's not in the current.
D.P. Lilly and.
Right.
Right.
Carolina Beach did disapprove of it.
I know. Well, I think right now there's not an ordinance against it other than they can't be running free. It's only mentioned once in the current ordinance because I looked it up. Someone else sent us an email. I don't know if it was you guys or not. Was it you? Did you send us an email?
Yeah.
So right now you actually can have them. You can't just let them loose in the... They have to be caged the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think some homeowners may be surprised by that, but I thought at one time, as the attorney said, there was a mayor that did not like getting woken up by a rooster in town, and they were outlawed in town for a while. But that's not it. And I remember that because I remember my granddad talking about the argument in council for there around that issue. But I guess it got dropped out sometime when we recodified stuff, because I looked for it this week and couldn't find it.
Have your neighbors made any comments about the chickens?
Nope, they've been quiet.
Okay.
They don't know that they're there yet, but we had the HOA over, because they're big now. We have to get rid of them. They're not babies anymore. We had a member of the HOA board come over and look at it, and she's like, this is great. She said, as long as there's nothing in the HOA that absolutely says no to chickens, she said, we will approve this, because it's so... No, the neighbors don't even know they're there. The neighbors are out in the yard. You can't see them at all. They're quiet.
So these are just hens, not roosters, or is there a rooster? Just hens.
So
do they lay? Have they been laying eggs yet?
Yeah,
are you sharing those with the council?
We get
nice.
Two eggs a day.
We'll
help
out.
Sure, John, go right ahead. John is head of our, is chairman of our planning and zoning board.
The ordinance under chapter 4, which is entitled Animals, section 4-4, certain domestic fowl prohibited from running at large. It shall be unlawful for the owner or keeper of any chicken or tame or domestic fowl of whatever description to permit such chicken or fowl to be or to run at large within the town. And there's a state law.
And that's all?
That's all, right?
Okay.
That's it.
So.
It sounds like no action is required, and Sarah will be allowed to keep her chickens.
Well, she, from a town perspective, I don't know if the HOA would have a
Well, it sounds like the HOA has agreed.
They were going to figure out on this meeting to make sure it's legal in the town, and then they said based on our setup, and they would approve it as long as it's not expressly forbidden in their bylaws, which they were going to check.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something, John?
Yes, sir. We're going to allow this in the public meeting, then we definitely need to do a little bit of ordinance work.
Right. I think John's concern is if you would have just asked instead of doing it in a public meeting, we wouldn't have to do anything probably. But now that it's in a public meeting, I think John's point is we need to make a tighter ordinance than what we have. And I agree with
you. Okay, would you like to take it to planning and zoning to review?
I can certainly do that.
Right.
I'm just going to copy and paste what Carolyn Meach did
a few weeks ago. That's right.
Well, why don't you just run it by planning and zoning and bring it to the next meeting? And meanwhile,
you're good.
You're good. Yeah.
So it's legal. You're fine.
Yep.
Okay.
Well. So we're probably going to make it more restrictive than it is right now, but it probably won't rule it out. We don't know how the process goes, right? Because the citizens will weigh in. That process will be another public meeting like you saw when you got here first thing. Did y'all come in at the beginning?
They weren't here at 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock, we had a public hearing. Citizens will give inputs on what they want, and then the council will respond to that. But right now, you're fine.
And you might want to find out from this young man over here when and where the planning board meets, and maybe go to their meeting just to see what they have to say about it. Okay.
First Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
First Wednesday.
Wow.
Okay. That would be the 5th of October. Okay. In this room. Okay. Okay.
Welcome.
All right, discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment, Community Center, Marketing, and I don't believe the Marketing Committee meets this month, so just in case anybody was planning to attend, Parks and Recreation, Planning and Zoning, Mr. Allen.
Good evening again. At our last meeting, one of the agenda items, the last meeting of planning and zoning, was to swear in Mr. John Cawthorn, who was selected by you folks as the alternate for the P&Z position, to swear him in so that, and there was an understanding that he could fill in on a monthly basis if one of the other five were absent.
Where did you get that?
That was on the agenda. We, the planning and zoning members, discussed that issue as that was not our understanding of the council's position on having alternate people for different committees. We've been back through the notes and the meeting minutes when Mr. Pagley suggested that P&Z be allowed to have an alternate. Nothing in those minutes referenced or alluded to that the alternate would fill in on an as-needed basis. He or she would be available when one of the five members became incapacitated, moved out of town, passed away, whatever the situation occurred where that person would no longer be the primary PLC.
As far as I know, you are exactly right. This council, as long as I've been on it, and especially after we decided to let you guys have an alternate, that part was never even discussed with us, and it certainly isn't in the policies and procedures. Is that gentleman with us tonight?
No.
Okay. Does he come to every meeting?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. I would, since you're the chair, I would encourage you to have a talk with him. That
he and I talked yesterday.
Alternates really do need to attend the meetings, so if somebody were to move away, he would be familiar with everything you're doing.
He fully understands. He was surprised that the agenda came out with his swearing in. He was not able to attend our last meeting, so it made it kind of easy that he wasn't there. We got to talk about him, and he's a great guy. But he fully understands. He does not expect to be sworn in at our October meeting. And I want to assure the council that had you kind of changed your idea and were going to allow that, then I, as the chairman, would demand his attendance. You're not just going to come occasionally and then get to sit in and vote.
I don't think you have to worry about that. And he will or will not be sworn in October. He will be.
He will not be as the alternate.
Well, he is an alternate, but he will not be sworn in because everyone else
has can
you mean he won't be sworn in as a member? He just stays the alternate.
Right. Identified.
And it says in our policies he automatically becomes a member.
It's best for him to attend every meeting without a doubt because everything, of course, PLZ takes 4 to 6 months for everything to come to fruition. So, because, you know, when something comes an idea, it goes through everything.
They're not going to take 4 months to discuss chickens, I promise you.
Maybe. So.
It might take 3 months. It will take more than one.
But thank you for being on your toes for that. No problem.
Well, just to tell you, I was on when the language was written, and your intent is 100% correct.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I ask council then to interpret the code that was written? It should be a copy in because code was written.
The code says that they will become a member if someone is incapacitated or dies or moves. It does not say they will fill in on an occasional basis when some member is absent.
So if someone's sick in a meeting, that's not
No.
Just for one meeting, if they were to miss several meetings.
If they're no longer
on the board.
Commission.
Second,
no.
Because we have trouble with
the council is not interpreting it like that.
I think he's an alternate when an opening occurs. Up until that point.
He's on deck because some of things take so long again to come to fruition. He's on deck, so he has an understanding, but he's on the board.
I think Nancy's point is Section 241 of the code regarding PNC reads, one alternate may be appointed by the town council who shall be seated as a regular member automatically in the event a member of the council resigns or commission resigns or becomes incapacitated or unable to serve. And I think what she's saying is we should define that better than incapacitated or unable to serve for how long.
Yeah, but where is this? Where is this?
Right there.
Okay. It says shall be seated as a regular member. Right. That doesn't mean he walks up and takes a seat that's seated. He becomes a regular member. He can't be an alternate this week, a member next week, an alternate this week, and a member next week. He is an alternate until somebody leaves the council and there is a opening on there for him to fill. Now, if you want to clarify it, we'll be glad for PNC to take a look at that and clarify that sentence.
Yeah, I think that's how it came up, and that's what I think it's smart for us to fix it. Well, I mean, I didn't write the agenda, so I don't know how it came up exactly, but it got on the agenda, so obviously someone was confused. And I think the clerk is doing her part, not the clerk, whatever you're called now, I'm sorry. Right, Nancy is
clerk,
right? Sorry.
Fire?
No, town clerk, sorry.
There's a lot of things she's called.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry for the crowd, but
I think,
John, can you work with the town clerk to propose how to fix this so there's no confusion in the future? However, it got on y'all's agenda, we don't want it to happen again, so work together to propose something to fix it, right? Okay.
I think it's a simple
Thank
fix.
Yeah. Thank you. Simple. Very
yep.
simple.
Yep.
Shoreline Access Beach Protection and Parking Committee. Any non-town committees here tonight? Department and consideration of department head business. Administration and recreation. Finance. Real. Building and department. Building inspections department. PNC.
It's right there. It's already on there.
Okay.
Yep. I just got to turn this thing on that one.
What's going on with that?
Yeah.
I do whatever you want me to do.
Well, I'll let you guys do it here in just a second.
Let's put it on now.
So, we had a formal complaint about a piece of property in the South Fork Fisher Boulevard after all the rains. We've dealt with it before after a significant rain event. And they've reached out to council for some code enforcement with that piece of property. Since then, Sonny and I have met with both property owners. We believe we've worked out an understanding and a way to move forward and mitigate the issue. At this time, I don't really feel like we need to change anything in the code unless council feels like we need to go in a different direction. Sonny has been more intimate with the situation than I have, and if he wants to add anything, that's great. But as far as I know, we are on board and moving forward with mitigating the issue with both property owners, and I don't believe it's going to be an issue anymore.
Is that what you think, you said?
That's exactly what, yeah. We're doing exactly what you said. I'm trying to mitigate between the two property owners. Both of them agree. I have to get a letter drawn up so she can sign it to get it to him to do some work, and we're going to be good.
So, John, just one thing. I was looking at the code with the attorney tonight in prep for this discussion.
Yes, sir.
It looks like you have the authority to tell them you can't fill the fact that it's low, but you can make them remove the debris based on what the code says.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Maybe I did discuss that with you.
Okay.
Okay,
as long as you feel like you get what you need, right?
Her main complaints were about wanting to clear the lot off, first of all.
Right.
And then filling the lot. Those are two things that the code doesn't allow me to.
Right. No, I agree with you on that.
Do that. And as far as everything else, yes, I could enforce that, but it looks like we're getting handled by this.
Okay.
Some discussions.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
And if you've got a minute.
Our time is your time, Jess.
Let me preface this briefly. Coastal Resources Commission, which is basically the long name for CAMA. CAMA is a vague set of rules that apply to the entire coast of North Carolina. I've been doing CAMA for almost 12 years now, and I still don't quite understand why some of the things are where they are. And I certainly don't understand some of the interpretations that they make. And so the reason I'm telling you this is because this is an evolving piece of rule that has just come out in the last couple of months that is applying to all municipalities. And what they're attempting to do is putting some of the rulemaking back in the town's hands by way of telling us where we can put lines and how far buildings can be to the ocean. So right now, we use what's called a static line, or measuring how close a house can be built to the ocean. It's a static line that is drawn by the Coastal Resources Commission. It won't change unless we have another Hurricane Fran or Hurricane Hazel, and only then the coastline just changes so dramatically much that something's going to have to change. It's always going to be the same. That line's been there, and it's platted since 2006 with GIS coordinates. Prior to that, we knew where it was, and we had to go out there and flag the lot by hand. Surveyors went out and marked the spot afterwards. Well, that static line is the point where you measure the setbacks from which you can build your house. Houses smaller than 5,000 square feet are set to a 60-foot setback, and anything bigger than 5,000 square feet is set to 120-foot. Setback area in the next slide is the area that certain other things can be constructed. Pools, gazebos, decking, beach access ways, and there's a couple other things. They can't be attached to the main building at all structurally. They have to be structurally independent and engineered depending on the flood zone. And that's that. This next slide, you'll see the area between the green and yellow lines is the setback area. Can't see the green line that well, but let's see what we're working with there. So why should we create a development line? The rule was created to alleviate some of the hardships due to the unlikely possibility that older buildings couldn't be rebuilt or destroyed. Based on how that static line moves around and the way the measurements were placed, some of these buildings are considered non-conforming at this point. If they're damaged over 50%, for any reason whatsoever, they would have to be brought up to conformity. This could be a benefit to us, particularly with ocean dunes and some older houses. And I have to preface this with, several years ago, I went and measured every single vacant lot, and most of the older houses on the oceanfront, and I didn't find any lots that weren't buildable now at all. You could build a house on the oceanfront. Ocean dunes and the riggings are the exception, mostly because of the size of the structures. But this development line would immediately allow for larger footprints in closer proximity to the ocean and with undeveloped and redeveloped lots in Curie Beach. So the differences between a static line and a development line are mainly any new building could potentially be built closer to the ocean. In no case would any new building be allowed to be built seaward of the easement line. And it may not include accessory structures such as pools. I'll try to explain that a little more later. I'll try to make this as simple as I possibly can.
That's good. Doing fine.
The Coastal Resources Commission has given towns with beach nourishment projects the option to create their own development line. It would be specific only to us and could alleviate the constraints. And it could create more obstacles. Only two towns have moved forward with this option, Carolina Beach and Oak Island. And that happened on Wednesday of last week. They were approved, went pretty smoothly. Oak Island was interesting, the issues that they have compared to the issues that we don't have. And Carolina Beach was far less complex, but I still believe we're in much better shape than both of those municipalities in relation to quality of our beach. Simply put, we already have a development line since we have easements along the entire shoreline for beach renourishment. Carolina Beach and Oak Island opted to use their easements as their development line. Instead of using the static line to measure setbacks, we would use what is called the first line of stable and natural vegetation. And then, and I'll get into that in just a minute. If the council wishes to pursue this process, this would be my recommendation to use our existing easement lines as the development line. The next two slides, you'll see the differences in setbacks compared to what we're using now and what it would look like if we were using the development line. what you see there is a static line and a 60-foot setback, and of course in the middle you can see the pools and other accessory structures that will be allowed. So what you have here is this red line right here. This is called the first line of stable and natural vegetation. That is now where we have measured our 60-foot setback. This blue line here, if everything was good in the world and we didn't have any easements, you could build your house up to that blue line. Since we do have the easements, and we would be calling this a development line, this blue line would then become the most seaward you could ever build any kind of structure, anytime.
Today it's the yellow line.
Today it's the yellow line. Well, it's still the blue line no matter what.
Yeah, because
if you can follow me here, our benefit in this situation is we no longer measure from a static line in this area. Or we no longer measure from that yellow line. We would be measuring from this red line.
We would be.
Yes.
And right now we're measuring from the blue line?
Right now we're measuring from that yellow line.
Okay.
I've got several different areas we're going to go over. I've picked about four different spots throughout the beach so you can see the differences. What is the first line of stable and natural vegetation? This is the line that I would determine with help from the Wilmington Camera Office. Typically, it's the first set of dune lines that have good, clean vegetation on them. It will move up and down the beach as the vegetation in the dune line is not concurrent to anything. It would have to be marked and surveyed along the entire beach strand. That doesn't mean anything, though, because nothing can be built seaward of the easement line no matter what. Following slide shows the static line, the 60-foot setback, the easement line, the new 60-foot setback, and the first line of stable natural vegetation. This is K Avenue. This is the vacant lot right beside town or the town park. So right now, currently, the bulkhead is what we consider the static line in this part of the beach. If we measure six, go ahead.
So right now you cannot build east of that static line.
Right now you cannot build east of that static line.
Well,
more importantly, let me get to what I'm getting to. More importantly, right now, you have to measure your setback for these buildings from that line. 60 feet from that line puts us in this area, whereas 120 feet put us up in here. If we went to the first line of stable natural vegetation for measuring these distances, 60-foot setback would be right here, and 120-foot setback would be right here. What that means is, this entire lot in our B1 district, oceanfront, can be built on, and the structure could potentially be larger than 5,000 square feet, which would add business and revenue to our tax base. This is probably the most extreme example that we'll get to, but that's mainly because the bulkhead along all of Atlantic Avenue there is considered our static line because for whatever reason, I don't even know why they did that. You know something?
I think back during the day they considered that the first line of stable vegetation line, the bulkhead that was...
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, why they picked out the bulkhead, but I know that's been like that for some time.
Well, just keep in mind that the easement runs along the same area there. In this specific area of town, the easement is the bulkhead also. Does anybody have any questions about that slide?
So just so I'm clear, so the advantages in this case is that right now that lot is... pretty, maybe not unbuildable, but it had to be a pretty small house unless all those lots were joined together to foot anything on there right now. But if we change, that lot becomes more buildable.
That's not a house. That's a
okay.
D1 fire district.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But a small business. Okay.
Small
thank
business.
You. Yep.
So yes, they would definitely be looking at a larger footprint.
Okay. Okay.
This is this house with the red roof here. This is 1009 South Fort Pitt Boulevard. So once again, that yellow line is the static footprint where we would measure from right now. The blue line is the easement, which nothing can be built outside of that easement except for an access way. And right now, this is a 60-foot setback, which is the farthest you can build your house. Red line.
The farthest, you mean the closest to the ocean?
Red line is the first line of stable and natural vegetation. Cross line, I believe.
So,
well, anyway.
if that structure were destroyed,
that structure was actually built after the static line was accepted. I picked it because it's an interesting structure. There's no other like it in Curie Beach. We're on the East Coast. It's got a 28-foot cantilever that goes over the setback.
Okay. That's what I was just going to ask. Why is that over that line?
It routinely comes up in meetings with CAMA because they actually changed the rules after that to not allow any cantilevers.
Nice. That's awesome.
Did you approve that one?
I was part of the approval process, yes.
Okay.
Well, so he said they changed the rules, so the rules were where your foundation was. And that's why they changed the cantilevers.
That's correct.
It had to happen somewhere, it just happened to be us. Okay, nice.
So once again, we're measuring 60 feet back from that red line. But you still couldn't go any further than the blue line, no matter what.
Right.
This is the 500 block north of Fisher. This house right here is a red house, I believe it's 502. This is an area that you should be familiar with.
It's yours.
Because council has approved swimming pools within the easement area. Mm-hmm. This is one place that this would not help these properties whatsoever. Because they still can't go any further out than where the easement line is. While these buildings are pretty much placed right here.
But it doesn't hurt them, right?
It doesn't hurt them either, no sir.
Is there anywhere in town the change hurts?
Not that I can tell yet.
Okay.
I've looked up and down, and based on the way I understand this thing, there's no way that it can really hurt any of our buildings.
Okay.
And John, you're talking about measuring from the first line of stable vegetation. That's the difference.
Yes.
Right. John, if it can't hurt buildings, can it hurt the beach?
Well, you know, I'll get to that in just a minute, too.
All right.
1200 block of North Fort Pitt Boulevard. These are the three duplexes that you see as soon as you cross over Alabama Avenue. These properties already have a lot of room to build whatever they want to build, and they have. The reason these houses aren't closer to the, as you can see, that 60-foot setback is the green line there. So those houses could actually be built hypothetically all the way to that green line. In this area, and where that deck is constructed, that is what's considered a primary dune. Mm-hmm. It's and the definition of a primary dune is a dune that's 20 feet above sea level or more. What that means is no structure of that house could be any further than the crest of that dune, and that's why they are where they are. Mm-hmm. So yet again, I'm showing you another one where it really wouldn't help them in this particular case, but it doesn't hurt them either. But it just goes to show you that there are places throughout town that will come to play that house could be farther out. So I contacted Bob Jones, the Bloomington Surveyor. He also did Carolina Beach and Survey for their process that they just went to approve. Obtain a quote for putting all this on paper for us in GIS format. Whatever we do needs to be recorded with the Register of Deeds because any kind of development is still going to require a survey. And rather than me handing these ordinance out, they need to be able to find them just as quickly as calling me or not quicker.
So you're saying that even if we decide we're happy with what we have, we don't want to change it, we really should do a recorded survey?
No, ma'am. If you want to stay just like we are, we don't have to do anything.
Okay.
It would also be placed on the Campbell website for easy access. And he quoted me actually a little less than $1,500. But I'm guessing by the end of it, I'm going to probably cost a little bit more than that. If we want to go this route, that's the only first step that I would consider so that we can actually look at what we've got to deal with. Everything that I did on this slide here, I measured out on the maps, and then I measured out on Google Maps, and then I measured out on my software, and I believe it's pretty accurate. Usually I'm within a foot or two when I do those type of deals like that. But, I mean, before we would go any further than that, I would suggest doing this. And then to complete the process, this is what would need to happen. We submit a formal request, which is nothing more than me writing a letter on town letterhead and including the survey. We would have to create an ordinance that we would accept. We'd have to provide CRC with that ordinance and the minutes from the meeting. That's pretty much it. It seems to be a pretty simple process. When I was at the meeting last Wednesday, it seemed like the commission was relying on their staff to tell them whether or not the rules were being met or how to interpret them. Like I said earlier, this is an evolving rule. And to answer your question earlier about hurting the beach, we can make it more restrictive than using that one line. We could declare that first line of stable and natural vegetation further westward than what I normally would. That's perfectly within our purview from my understanding with my discussions and meetings with CAMA officials about this.
John, when you said an evolving rule, does that mean that if we would choose that, there may continue to be changes in what the definition is?
I don't think so with this particular part of it. One of the specific questions that I asked was that how would the exceptions, so I mean pools and decks and things like that, how are they interpreting where they can be placed? Because my fear there is, where while you're not really going to be able to fit a bigger house on some of these lots, based on the setbacks and over 5,000 square feet, you will be able to get closer to the ocean. You may be able to fit another bedroom in there. My bigger fear is that we're going to see more and more pools trying to get closer and closer to the ocean. And that would be my only concern. So, other than that.
So Atlantic Avenue, because of the one lot you showed, if a number of those houses got impacted with a Fran-type event, more than 50%, are there multiple houses on Atlantic Avenue that wouldn't be rebuildable under our current system that would be under this new system?
They'd certainly be rebuildable. They'd probably just have to move further back on the lot. The footprint might not be the exact same.
Currently, you think they'd be rebuildable?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the way you showed that line, if I just, in my mind, drew it up Atlantic Avenue, it seems like it would impact the houses north of the park,
so
right?
Right now, as I said, that's a static line right now on the bulkhead. 60 feet up is about right here.
Right.
I should have placed it on this map. I don't know
where. Yeah, no,
right along the front of the existing structure there at the top of the picture?
Well, that's the park.
No, that's
our park
up here.
Oh, that's
the park, right. Park is actually, yeah. But anyway, I measured it on this lot specifically.
Yeah, I understand. Well, that's what I was saying. I know we don't necessarily have the answer, but I'm just asking the question so I understand. Because, I mean, I think the survey would tell us that, and I think that would be important to know.
Well, I can tell you that. That's
okay.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Can we?
I haven't measured every single one
right,
of those.
Right, right.
So.
I understand.
Well,
can you adopt a combination of things, or do you have to pick one or the other? Can you say in some areas you can have one line, other areas you have to use a different line?
No, from my understanding, it's either one or the other.
Right.
Now, we can surrender, we can surrender this development line anytime we want to. But that is certainly a question I can ask.
Could you take, for example, the little house right next to the bathrooms that's been for sale for a year or two? If that were to be demolished in a storm, or somebody bought it and wanted to tear it down and build a nicer building, even if though it's a small one, would they have to move further back on the lot to do that?
Most likely it's going to have to move back. Right now that house doesn't conform to setbacks anyway, if it were rebuilt as a house.
So it's pretty much just kind of the same place as everybody there in that lot.
In the same case, would go from some of the houses further up also.
Right. And that wouldn't fix that because it's still a road frontage. They still got a 20-foot setback from the road.
That's true. They got that too.
Now, that particular lot is steep, but there are a few other lots.
That's for a house.
Right.
There's a reason I did this for the business district. That little house that you see further up, it will make that lot more desirable for a business-type venture there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to do it.
John, will this also benefit the B1 and our older hotels that are oceanfront? If anybody wanted to rebuild?
Based on everything I'm hoping on, absolutely.
Because right now they had to put the parking in front because they couldn't build because of the...
And it will probably still have to be out front, but they may be able to inch their footprint a little bit to the ocean.
And maybe along the lines of what Craig was saying, can you do a development line, say, just in the B1 district and nowhere else? You'd have to do the whole beach. Yeah, okay.
Are we interested in this at all?
What if we just waited to see how things worked out with Carolina Beach and Ocean Isle? Is that the one?
Well, I think things worked out pretty good. That's kind of what I was trying to come across with. It's evident that the rules have been relaxed for most of their non-conforming structures. They're in a much better position now.
Right.
Based on what you know, then you're leaning towards this.
I want to spend $1,500 to find out exactly where we're going. Yes.
I think that's really what we need to look at. But the point being that a new development line would allow people to put larger structures closer to the beach. Or replace structures that they couldn't replace today.
Well, there again, the only structures in Curry Beach that wouldn't be able to be replaced where they stand are the riggings and some of the Ocean Dunes buildings.
Okay.
And that cantilever house.
Most of the Ocean Dunes buildings.
And that cantilever house.
Well, the cantilever could be replaced.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it loses 28 feet or whatever you said it was, right? So, I mean, there's at least those. Plus, there's a lot that's potentially... I know that lot's adjacent. It's owned with all the other lots of the same property owner, so it's still buildable, but a large portion of it's not buildable right now. And there may be more. I think I agree with John that the right thing for council is to approve the spending for the survey and then to direct John and P&Z to work on telling us what the right thing to do is.
Yeah. Please don't do what you think we want to hear. Recommend what you think is right.
The only reason I'm even bringing this up to you is because I believe it's helpful to the property owners.
Right.
We're looking at increased property values and potential increase in tax base.
Right.
I didn't think it was a good thing, I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
So I make a motion we approve the building inspector to get a survey done and work with P&Z to bring us a more formal recommendation.
I'll second.
Arlen, do we need to put the amount of money in there, or is that small enough he can determine if it...
You might have some money in your one...
I'm not in favor of bigger structures.
Okay, so you're
opposed.
Uh, No, I think we should do the survey, but I don't know.
Well, you just make it an
observation. I'm not going to be on board with putting bigger structures.
I agree with you on that one, but yeah, we would just like to see the survey, and that's all.
Sure.
We don't want to see you on the CRC agenda next quarter or anything. Okay. Okay.
Thanks, John.
Thank you very much, John.
It was simple enough.
I think I understood it a little more. Very good.
Can you send out a copy of that, John?
No.
Or print up a copy for us? What?
Let me do a little more work to print it out.
That's fine.
Okay.
Give me a week.
All right. Fire department, police department, public works.
I have a couple of items.
The first thing I'd like to talk about is the new Curie-Dee's pump station that we're talking about replacing. We've talked about it for some time. Talked about the financing. I believe everyone received a funding cost comparison and is taking a look at it. I think that it's time to, I'm ready to get started. I want to get some surveying started. It's going to take probably 9 months to complete the project once we get everything started, and I certainly would like to get it done before next summer. I have some engineering money, I have some, building my budget, but I want to go ahead and get started. But I think it's probably time that we need to make some type of decision, and Arlen get with us so we can start with the process and let's get this thing going. So that's what I'm going to say about that. And I don't know if anybody wants to add anything or ask any questions.
Right. So
I was looking at Arlen.
Yeah, I think Sonny and I talked about this. One of the things in the three work streams, they're pretty close, although there's different money right in there. The issue from Sonny and my perspective is we would like to do whichever one that meets the council's will but does not delay the project. So if one of them has a huge built-in delay because of requirements of any type, we encourage the council to factor that in, because if we delay Sonny and it pushes into next summer, that's a problem for the department.
Yeah. Of course, I want the one that goes the fastest.
Right.
Okay. Since I brought up the money that the state has to offer first, and I probably need to talk to Brian about this. Some of his figures are not totally correct. I have the woman who's in charge of the process in state government on tape, indicating that two of those funding streams do not require an environmental review at all. Now, the local government commission, I believe, requires something in their process, which Brian had mentioned, which if we borrow money, I don't care if we borrow it from Jim Dugan or a bank or who, the local government commission will require that. And he said that is the lowest type of environmental review. So one of those funding streams could have been considerably cheaper, saved us tens of thousands of dollars, but the deadline is next week, so obviously that can't happen. Something you might keep in mind for spring water lines or anything like that. So we have, and maybe Arlen needs some time to mull this over, or maybe after some of the engineering is done, we need to decide whether we're going to pay cash or we're going to a bank.
Well, I don't think we would pay 100% cash, but Tommy and I talked earlier today, and we did budget a $50,000 transfer out of the water and sewer fund towards this capital project. So that we've kind of already factored in. I would then probably look at using some of the money from our SURF fund, which we are using some of that already for the bypass project, but using a little bit more of that, maybe leaving a little over $100,000 would remain in the SURF fund. So bottom line, if we would need to borrow about $400,000. And if we do that, then I would look at a much shorter term, not 15 years, not 20 years. Maybe like, 6 or 7 years.
Yep.
That would bring our interest way down.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to do a little more research on that.
Thank you.
So I guess the question is, Arlen, from what council's already approved, both in the budget process and in, I guess, discussions, if you need something from us now, is Sonny good to start going and then you're going to figure it out? So we're not going to delay it. At this point, he can start executing?
Yeah, I mean, again, it was really built into this year's budget. That transfer of $50,000 is already approved as part of the budget.
Okay, good.
And then it's going to just require a capital project ordinance for that project once we have.
Okay. Do you need to command more than $50,000 before our October meeting, Sonny?
October 9th.
Okay. Then we're good for right now, right? And you guys will work together to bring to October whatever you need.
That's right, yeah. Not on that project, right?
Okay. I know you're getting ready to do a different one, I understand. But for this project, we're good. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we're talking about the sheriff, and I'll just bring this in play right here. I guess, as everybody knows, we had a few problems with the pump station. Both pumps going out, and we had a discharge on the beach. But anyway, we're looking at ways to try to eliminate that ever possibly happening again, or trying to reduce the chance as much as we can. And talking to the engineer last couple of weeks, we've come up with the idea of doing a pump station bypass there on site, which will tie into the new system when we build it. Can be used there, but what we would do is go in and actually make a tap into and have it where we can bring in. We have a 6-inch pump that the town already owns, a diesel pump, and it's perfect for a bypass pump. And we could actually have the pump station go down both pumps. We could actually have the power go down, generator blow up, and we could still pump the sewer. So we could actually hook up the 6-inch pump to a tap that we have into the force main, and turn a valve, start the pump and start pumping and keep that sewer from discharging on the beach. There is some cost to that, and while we're making the bypass tap, which is, we should be for the treatment plant. The company is down there right now, can do that too. And I would recommend that we do this. And right now, we're still working with some numbers, but right now, the price of doing that tap is around $32,000. There's some things that's built into the quote, the estimated quote that we have, that can be reduced. I see quite a few of them. But I would like for town council to approve the $32,000 at a maximum on this project. And let's go ahead and get the engineer to draw this tap up, this bypass for the pump house, the pump station, and get started with it.
So I understand what you're asking, Sonny. This bypass that you would have, since in 9 months you would supposedly have a new station.
That's right.
Does this support that effort
That would support it too. The design that we have right now.
So we're not doing it for 9 months?
No. Okay. This would be tied into the new pump station itself.
Yeah, so I think it's a good solution. So to add on to what Sonny said, for the citizens that weren't paying attention to WWAY or WECT?
WWAY.
Which one? I get the right. I was in Mexico, but
WWAY, WECT said exactly what Sonny gave them. The other one kind of made it up.
So we had an issue with the system. Because Sonny didn't have what he's asking for now, he was basically stuck for a while until they got it fixed, right? If he would have had that, like he said, we already have a diesel pump that we use for other activities in public works. His team would have been able to wheel it down there, put in the manhole, and then bypass the problem while they were working on it, and that would have helped us. Would it have stopped everything? Probably not, because it had taken a while to get it set up, but instead of 4,000 or 5,000 gallons, I don't remember the exact amount from the reports, it could have been significantly reduced. So I think it's money well spent for us. After we finish this discussion, I want to talk about the meeting for other changes we're going to do to our emergency operation plans because of this. So,
okay, and I have another question
yes.
too. Because of the other bypass we're doing, had we talked about expanding the lagoon or dredging it or?
Well, we're in the process. We did put money into the budget this year to clean it. So it is going to be cleaned out. I think that's about $120,000 we're talking about doing that. And that starts trying to get the bypass project done so we can make access to that to get that work done. That will not increase the capacity of the plant.
And I doubt the state would give us increased capacity with the plant that we're already tied to. They would tell us to expand up there, not down here, because of the type of plant it was.
Does it make it a little more efficient or cleaning it out more?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it should help the treatment process, number one. But number two, also give us more room for more stuff.
Okay. Get the chunks out of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stuff.
George is raising his hand.
Got a question.
Yes, George.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny,
yes.
This would eliminate the problem I got, right?
Yes. Well, the bypass to the treatment plant is going to help that problem that you got.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically we're bumping against the head, and what we'll be able to do is bypass it to our treatment plant, which will eliminate the pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm the low man on the totem pole, so I'll let that go.
We have?
Thank you. Thank you, George.
So I make a motion we approve up to $32,000 from the SURF fund to allow a bypass project to be installed.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you,
okay. Thank you so much for everything you have done the last.
Oh, yeah. I'll back that up.
Are you finished, son? You got something?
No, I've got one more thing. We're going to be closing up the intersection of the H Avenue and 5th. It's going to be blocked off probably for the next couple of days. It's going to be a little slower going through there. We ran into some water. We're going to do more dewatering on the project, and it's just going to take a while. So we did do some door hangers, per se, and put them in there. We're also going to put it on the website. If it's up and running, I'm sure it is. Yeah, I think she might have sent it. Oh, it might probably may already been on there. But anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know about that. And did you want to talk about that other now?
Yeah, I did. So emergency operations plan. So I met with all the department heads yesterday. Sonny had already changed some of his procedures, and if you're interested in that, get with Sonny. He can go over what he's changed for his policies. I think the issue that, as we talk through the process, what we want to add and what I'll bring to the October meeting to formalize this is once I get it written up in the emergency operations plan, we'll make another annex for sewage spills. And really the issue is around blocking off the area. And so we typically do that. This was a holiday day that this mm-hmm. happened on. They called people in and Sonny's team got involved in fighting the problem, which is what they should do. And we didn't step back and say, hey, we should do some blocking off on the beach. The fire department, police department know how to do that, understand that. So we'll write it up so that Public Works is still in charge of the issue, but they can request other departments' assistance in blocking off and informing the public. Because I think that's really where we got in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fighting the problem, although some news agencies thought we didn't fight the problem, but it was really about highlighting the area to citizens walking by. And so if you talk to the fire department, lifeguards were on that day. Our assistant chief was actually on the beach that day. Most people had left by the time it happened, and there wasn't people swimming around in it, wading around in it anyway because of the day, but we should have done a better job of just barricading it off. And so we'll work with the department heads. I'll bring something to council to approve next month to put in our operations plan and the department heads so they take it back to their agencies to make sure that we do that.
Thank you.
Anything to add, Sonny
no,
or Nancy, since
just,
you guys
you know, I'm making changes in our SSOs and we're trying to
beef those up communication-wise, notification to the different, the fisheries department and some other departments that weren't on our, our
notification
list. So we're doing that, and we've had a couple of recommendations from the state, so we're putting that all in, trying to redo our SRS and go that way. So we're all working on it. And I think, knock on wood, I think is that what we're talking about doing, the bypasses and stuff, is going to make a great big difference in any future problems that we're going to have out there.
There you go.
We don't want any to go out there. Good.
I'd like to see what you write up, just out of curiosity, okay. And nothing else.
I'll be glad to get it to you.
And thank you.
Bob, let me bring it to you first, but that's part of the job, right? So we got it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of old business, our proposed new ordinance that we had the public hearing on earlier tonight.
I only have one question, right? So I think our policy is really good, I like everything about it, except for a pertinent department head. How does that get determined? Which department head has to deal with the question? I mean, everything about it's great, but when it comes down to if someone comes with some weird, oddball request, how does Nancy know which department head to send them to?
Well, she usually sends them to me.
Well, this is for stuff on the beach. So maybe the police chief or lifeguards, right? Yeah. Or
and
the building inspector
on
for
the
a
time of the year.
Right, yeah. That's my only concern. I like everything else about the policy. I don't want the department heads arguing over, no, this one's you, right? Which I would blame them for doing that. It's a bad request, I might do that, right? So I don't know how to answer the question, I'm just asking it to council, because I don't have a solution, which I don't like, but...
Do we have, well, never mind, that's a ridiculous question.
It is a tough question because, right, if it's a safety issue, is it the police department or is it the fire department?
Right.
It is difficult. It may require, I know what kind of review it'll require, but it might actually require all of it.
I know this. So, like, example, if I came in and said, I want to put a dance stage at the end of E Avenue for the afternoon, you know, 100 by 100 dance stage.
No.
Okay, well this, I would come to town hall and say, hey, I wanna put a 100 by 100 dance stage down there. And then, I don't know what Nancy would do, whoever I asked, what would they do? They say, we got a policy, we'll look at the policy.
I'd refer to code enforcement.
So, okay, so that would go to building inspector. Okay, I wanna drive my truck down.
Or you're already doing it and somebody calls and says,
right.
There's this truck up and down the beach.
Well, that'd
who
be the
do you
police
call?
Initially to stop the activity until
So, I mean, if you guys think it's good enough, I'm fine. If, Nancy, you feel comfortable routing them, that's my only question, right? If someone was to ask me which department head I have to go see for this, according to what weird thing you said, I don't know that I would have a good answer. And I don't know if all five of us would get the same answer.
You're set to hack through it.
Well, correct. I think you've got two issues here. One is if somebody wants to do something.
Right.
And that may involve the building inspections more than anybody else. The other one is if you have an emergency situation where somebody is doing something right now that could impede safety and could damage the dunes, and that immediate contact should be the police department?
Police. To stop it and give us time to discuss what we want to do with it.
Mr. Attorney, our tradition is anything in the code is interpreted by the building inspector, code enforcement.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in the code where this should be different from that? That the building inspector, code enforcement officer should be the determining as to which department is the proper department.
Especially if it's on a holiday or the middle of the night or a Sunday morning, Do you call the building inspector and ask for his interpretation, or do you call the police?
Well, he is the code enforcement officer, so naturally he would be the first contact. I know his second contact would be me. And that's how it would go.
Yeah, but it says, if it's not otherwise provided for in the code, which occur on our request. So this is already saying it's not in the code. We didn't say anything about it in the code. So it's either happening, and I agree with Jim, then it's the police. If someone comes up to town hall and requests to do something, is it still the police or is it not? I'm okay with it as it stands. I'm just saying that I want to make sure that we've given the right guidance to whoever the questions come to, so they route them to the proper person. Once it gets to a department, I'm fine with it, right? Yeah. How do you pick which one?
I mean, the description clearly says this is what we view as safe and right. Things you shouldn't do that would violate any of these 12 principles.
Right.
Like the dunes, the animals, et cetera, et cetera. Now, depending on what the action is, you can wind up with either. I guess we can leave it as it is, and if we need to get into it, we'll get into it.
That's the controlling factor, is what is it that's being requested?
Right. Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying, right? This just says, hey, if something's requested, here's a decision tree, basically.
Yeah,
kind right.
Of. Yeah,
right.
Because, right. I mean, you have three things in here that talk about potentially resulting in the injury or death of a human or marine life, or wildlife, and do you really want at 2 o'clock in the morning to have to get John Batson out of bed, who's going to try to find Andy, who's going to work with him to make, by then, whatever it is going to be dead? Or are you going to call the police?
What about if it's an ongoing situation, the police get called to render whatever's going on harmless, and then at the earliest opportunity, a decision is made.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the 2 a.m. thing. The police will take care of that.
There's really two approaches. If you have an active condition, you get the police.
Right.
If you have a request for future activity, this says this is what you do and how you decide whether you're going to let that future activity occur.
Start out with the building.
So if it's a current action, in my view, it's the police.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah, 911, that's what will happen.
That's
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I'm comfortable. You guys are. Make a motion to accept it as presented.
Do I hear a second? Okay, second from Joseph. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Okay. Nancy, I emailed you the letter to property owners. Can you put it up on the board?
No, I think I didn't get it.
I just emailed you again.
Oh, you
just sitting up here.
Now?
Yep.
I'm not sure if I can get my email here. I might have to go into my office and see if it's there.
So the next one is letter to property owners for short-term rentals for the cloud.
Yep.
The crowd. It's not in with our old business because that's what I was looking for. But I can read it, so I've got it. And it's in your emails if you can get your emails. I got to put my glasses on because it's too small on the screen. So basically, we've talked around this about room occupancy tax, and great work by Jim and Craig on reviewing everybody that advertises in the town. And comparing that list to what the New Hanover County Tax Office has on file for room occupancy tax. And so I think the next step now is to put the people that may not have accounts but may be renting short term on notice that we're continuing to work through the process, right? So back in October of 2015, the New Hanover County Tax Office sent out a letter to residents in all the beach communities that they thought may be renting. And I would propose we include that again to remind them, because it has all the details about how to fix the problem. But here's the wording that I put in, and I'm open for inputs. Nancy's trying to bring it up, so you guys might be able to read it by the time I get part of the way through it, right? Official notice of action. So I figured we'd put it in the Island Gazette as an official notice. And notice of action may not be the right thing, Nancy, so y'all have to tell me what the right thing is, but that's what I put down. Regarding short-term rental in the town of Cary Beach, North Carolina. In accordance with North Carolina General Statute 153A-155 and 168-215, in parentheses, every operator of a business or individual furnishing a taxable accommodation in New Hanover County, such as a hotel, motel, inn, room rental, or other short-term rental, is subject to charging a room occupancy tax, ROT. And that wording is straight out of the tax office's October letter. The rate of the tax is 6%, and in Cary Beach went into effect on July 1st, 2004. That's also from the office. In the past year, the town council has been working closely with the New Hanover County Tax Office to review the properties that have accounts with the tax office and comparing them to properties that are advertising for rental, either on the multiple websites such as Airbnb, VRBO, Craigslist, etc., or who have physical signs on their property. From the review, it appears that there are a number of properties that are advertising rentals but do not have an established ROT account with the New Hanover County Tax Office. For all property owners that are engaging in short-term rentals, be advised that in October, the town will be providing all information regarding short-term rentals to the New Hanover County Tax Office and would be requesting that they fully investigate any properties that are advertising for short-term rentals that do not have an active ROT account. Attached in a separate PDF, which I would assume Willard will put in the Island Gazette, that's the bottom one, are the details on the penalties and responsibilities of property owners engaging in short-term rentals, and that is defined as less than 90 days in New Hanover County. And then if you'll pull the other PDF up, Nancy, I'm going to pull it up on mine so I can see it. Yeah, you're going to have to switch the, make it turn sideways, right? I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. Yeah, it is a PDF, so shift arrow.
It's an email, though.
It does.
One of it's control, shift,
yeah. Plus. No, yes. Control, alt, and the arrow to the right.
Control, alt, arrow to the right.
Wow, you made it bigger. I don't know what you're doing. We'll let Nancy do it again, right? We'll eventually get there. Anyway, what I'm trying to show the crowd and for council, you guys have seen this letter before because it's been copied to you a couple of times. This is basically the letter from the room occupancy tax, Keith Harabin, and basically it tells the requirements of the room occupancy tax if they can get it up there. What I kind of envision is we put this notice in the Gazette. We asked Willard to put this letter in there as well so that people see that, you know, this is a requirement from the tax office. Sorry you guys can't see it. It's kind of a pretty letter, right? But they didn't send it to me so I could edit it. That's why it's a PDF, right? I guess the tax office doesn't want you messing with their stuff, right? So it came as a PDF. But basically, I think, as we talked about, you guys got it completely upside down. There you go.
No, it's upside down now.
It's just a different line.
Yeah, control alt right. Control alt and the right arrow. There you go. Now,
do it again.
Now make it small enough so no, it's right.
Yeah, well, that's going to be the problem.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that happened.
Just zoom.
Hey,
once you get over to it, you'll be good.
Yep, all that's doing is.
Whatever. Anyway, to not waste anyone's time or the audience's or council's time, I'm looking for inputs from council on the wording and if the council wants us to do this or not, right? I think from my standpoint, we should tell people it's coming so they get a chance to fix themselves. And I think that's more successful than the tax office chasing them down, actually. So I'm open to verbiage for the wording, and then I'll be glad to work with Nancy to get it in the Island Gazette. I'm pretty sure Willard will be glad to run it. He's already ran our last month's discussion. I thought he did a pretty good job of that for capturing the discussion.
And a great editorial.
And I think I think from talking with Andy, I guess some people, it came up what we're doing with the attorneys from the other town. So I think we're on the right track a little bit. So I'm looking for council's feel on what you want done.
I like what you're doing. I think it's a very good idea. And I don't have any recommendations for changes. I would recommend you look at it and see if there's any way you can shorten it. Because people reading the newspaper are going to read maybe that first paragraph. And may not go any further. So just put the most important message you have at the very, very beginning, if it isn't already, and then see any way you can shorten it at all to encourage
they'll read the rest of the article.
Yeah. I would think that anybody who gets a letter from council with the word tax in it is going to read it.
Right.
Let's hope so.
Well, that's the second part. So this was for the in the Island Gazette, but I do think that all the addresses we identified, we should send the same note to them. And say,
yeah, I wouldn't exclude
you've been identified as advertising for short-term rental in the city limits of Curie Beach. Be advised, we're working with the tax office on making sure you're paying your taxes.
I would not make it an accusation specifically.
Right.
I wouldn't go along the lines of your wording, which says, hey, we're looking at everybody who's advertising. We're going to pass it in, just like you said. So if you don't have an account, we recommend you get one.
That's right. Exactly right.
Period. So
do I have permission from council to work on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And are you okay with sending it to Alan Gazette in the next week or two? Or do you want? Okay. I'll give it to you guys via email and make sure you approve it via email before we actually run it. But I'll work with Nancy over the next week or so, and you'll see two versions, one for Alan Gazette and one for the homeowners to the addresses that Jim and Craig have identified. And I'll give you 3 or 4 days to review it to make sure everyone's comfortable. Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. That's all I have, ma'am.
Great. Thank you. Discussion and consideration of new business. It appears that we don't have any, but we do have a question from Mr. George back here in the back of the room.
So I know if I need to do it now or do it next meeting. I got a proposal to the city during the winter.
You need to get on the agenda for next month.
Next
month. So people know we're talking about it so they can be here if they're interested.
Yeah.
Because we can't make a decision if
you're interested. Well, I know, I guess I want to do is put a bug in y'all's ear.
That's fine. I think if you get on the agenda, then anyone that's interested has an opportunity to come. We can't do anything if you talk about it now.
Okay.
Other people might be interested.
Well, that's what I want to clarify. Yeah.
Plus, you could send a letter identifying what you're after, then we'll all be on the same page.
Yes,
yeah,
so
start
we'll
to
know
talk
in advance.
What
it.
Maybe email y'all.
That's right. Just with what.
It doesn't have to be that complicated.
It's not
so we know what you're
George.
Talking about. So
we just
want to
know what you want.
I can't know.
Beach Burgers is closed. Beach Burgers is closed. You have time.
That's right. Nice. Joe's going hungry already.
I am.
Okay. Do we have any? We don't have any mayor's items. Do we have any commissioner items?
No,
ma'am.
Okay.
Make a motion to go into closed session for personnel issue.
Second.
Second.
A personnel and legal issue. Sorry, a personnel and legal issue. Thank you.
Okay. Two separate issues. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
You got. So, any for the process discussion, does council want Sonny in or not? That's why he's here.
I would like to be here.
Yes, possible.
Okay, hold on.
Make a motion we return to open session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. On the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization's litigation, we have no action. On our personnel issue, I'll accept a motion at this time to continue our meeting.
Make a motion we continue the meeting to 3 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, 9/21.
Second.
In Town Hall.
In Town Hall.
Sorry.
For the purpose of?
For the purpose of continuing the personnel discussion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
Oh, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, we continue. We can't.
Oh, you can't adjourn.
Oh, that's right. We did. We did. Erase that.
Okay, so good night, everybody.
Make a motion to adjourn.
So, that's good.